reading from Luke's Gospel in chapter 18 and verses 9 through 14. He, meaning Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Here's the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to the heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." "I tell you this," Jesus said, "this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the words of our Lord will endure forever. Amen. Amen.
Would you pray with me? God, speak to us in this time. May we listen to you. May we respond to you. And may we become the people that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It seems to me that some prayers seem a little bit more serious than others. Have you ever heard somebody pray for something that to you seemed a little bit silly? I think we've all been there before. We've had times where our prayers have been maybe a little bit more desperate than they are serious. The time that I'm thinking of in particular is a memory that I have from middle school. Now, I remember very specifically being in the seventh grade. And in my seventh grade class, the most popular kid in school was a kid named Greg. Now, in case it's been a while since you were in middle school, let me remind you of the rules. The most popular kid in school gets to decide what is cool and what is not cool to say. And that is the way it goes. And so in my seventh grade life science class, Greg was in my class. One day, we walk in the class, and there's a test that day. So Greg, who gets to decide what's cool, decides to tell everybody that he has not prepared. And so there's a group of us in the back, and he decides not to leave the score of his test up to the authority of the teacher, but he leaves it up to a higher authority, and he grabs all of us, and we say a quick prayer that God would give us good grades on this seventh grade life science test. And I doubt that it is the first time somebody's prayed for a science test. Now, I definitely didn't know a ton about my faith at the time. I didn't have a theology or of prayer or anything like that, but it did seem a little bit strange to me that we would be praying for a science test. And the reason why was it seemed to me that no matter how hard I prayed or no matter what I promised God in the moments leading up to that test, my grade was always more dependent upon how hard I studied rather than how hard I prayed. See, I think the prayers that we say in the moments leading up to a test say a lot more about ourselves than they do about God. Those prayers really are about us, aren't they? They're not about who God is. But we've all prayed them. Now, I had a picture to share with y'all, and it was a picture of a sports fan praying. Have you ever prayed that prayer? It was the particular one that I had. I liked it because it was a picture of an LSU versus Florida game. And I knew that one of those two teams was going to lose the game. And that's why I loved the picture. But it was the fourth quarter. and there was 30 seconds left. They were down by three, and they had to kick a 50-yard field goal. And we've all said those prayers, but I can tell you right now, those prayers do not work.
That was evident.
I had enough people come up to me at the Fall Festival yesterday and let me know the score that I already knew to tell you that those prayers don't work. Because the prayers that we say for football games, they're not really about how God is living and active in our world. They're more about ourselves. Our sports prayers aren't about God. They're about us. And we pray for the things that are important to us. I think and I believe that the things we pray show who we are. We have a story this morning that is about a Pharisee and a tax collector, and the way that they pray. And so these characters, they're not new people in Luke's gospel. As early as the fifth chapter, we have the Pharisee who is criticizing Jesus for sitting down and eating with sinners, for sitting down and eating with the tax collectors. Now, this story that we heard this morning, this parable, is a remarkably short passage of Scripture. The actual action of it doesn't take any longer than four verses. But it doesn't take very long for us to see the true character of these people. It only takes a short prayer to see who the Pharisee really is. It only takes a short prayer for us to see who the tax collector really is. Because the way that we pray shows who we are. Now, the Pharisee, he's one that looks down on other people. He is a little bit hateful towards other people. And you can see, even in a short prayer, the way that he sees other people. Did you see how the Pharisee sees other people? He defines them by their sin, thieves and adulterers. When the Pharisee looks at these other people, he does not see somebody that's been created by God. The Pharisee doesn't see a parent or a sibling. The Pharisee doesn't even see a friend or an employee. The Pharisee sees a sinner. The Pharisee sees what makes those people broken, but not what makes them whole. And all of this truth about who that Pharisee really is, it comes out in the way that he prays. Because the way we pray shows who we are, and it shows how we see other people. Now, the tax collector, on the other hand, he was not so concerned about looking down on other people. He was more concerned with his own problems. He wasn't worried about other people's brokenness or other people's sin. Instead, the tax collector turned inwards. And it was in the inward reflection that he had that he was able to look upward towards God. The prayer that the tax collector prayed was humble. And it's this humbleness that Jesus commends at the end of the passage. Now, I've seen great examples of humility in my life. One was recently here at the church. We have a retired teacher. We actually have multiple retired teachers in this congregation. But one in particular, his name is Steve Rubino. If you don't know Steve, you probably should. He's a great guy. And he was talking about his experience in the classroom. And he said that when he was a teacher, he was defined by his role as teacher. Defined as the person with control. Defined as the person with all the power. But when he came to church, he told me that this role changed. And in church, he learned that faith and maybe even life was not about being in control, not about having power. In fact, it was just the opposite. A life of faith is about letting go of control. And when he began to come to church, when he began to pray, it changed the way that he saw his relationship with others. It changed who he was. Because the way we pray shows who we are. And if we can learn to change the way we pray, it might just be able to change who we are. Now, the Pharisee's prayer showed who he was. Not only somebody that looked down on other people, but what he thought about himself. It showed that the Pharisee was confident that he was everything God could ever hope for in a person. He had all the right answers. You know, the Pharisee was somebody that always went to synagogue school. He was in worship every single Sabbath. He knew what would be acceptable and pleasing in God's sight. But for all the answers that this Pharisee had, he missed the most important one. He missed what our children's sermon was about. Loving God first, and then loving others. He didn't realize that for our actions to be righteous, we have to realize that they can never be righteous on our own. See, he thought he could save himself if he just did everything the right way. But that's never the way that we get to God's heart. That's never the way to truly fall in love with Christ. The Pharisee's problem was not that he fasted, not that he prayed, certainly not that he gave, because these are all good things. The Pharisee's problem, it was that he exalted himself over others. He decided that he could take God's place, determining what was righteous and who was a sinner. And we see all of this in a short prayer, because who we are shows, well, how we pray determines who we are. And it showed that the Pharisee thought that he could take God's place. We all want to pray like the tax collector, right? We don't want to have shallow prayers. We don't want to have arrogant prayers or prayers that look down on other people. And so we look at the tax collector and we take his strategy. We bow our heads and we beat our breast and we ask God for mercy. But if we really want to be like the tax collector, then we have to humble ourselves. And my guess is that if you're honest with yourself, and if I'm honest with myself, when I read this passage and I read about the Pharisee, I think that it's somebody else. That has to be another group of people. That's not me. But until you see that you are the Pharisee, until I see that I'm the Pharisee, we miss what it means to really be humble. So who are you? How do you pray? We're going into a time of stewardship. We're in the time of stewardship here at Chamblee. And we're asking people to commit to serving and giving for another year here at the church. But more importantly than that, we're asking people who they are going to be for the next year. We have a few more weeks before Consecration Sunday, a few more weeks before you lay down your pledges to God. And if you're going to take this seriously, then I'm going to challenge you to take that stewardship card home, to earnestly pray over it. But when we pray over it, I'm not talking about the shallow prayers, not the silly prayers, not prayers that are arrogant, that put yourself in God's seat. Not prayers that look down on other people, that reduce other people to a dollar amount. Prayers that are truly humble. We're coming before God, and admitting that nothing we can give to this church is enough. Because everything that we have comes from God. So what are you being called to give to this church? How are you going to pray about that? But most importantly, who are you going to be? Amen.